For me, this podcast is about heart. In storytelling, we're trying to connect to people. Listen, we've been there. We're doing it. Listen, we're giving you people who are saying the same thing. Don't lose hope in your passion. Don't lose hope in doing what you love just because of where you are. You are valuable. You can do it, and let us help you do it.
Beacon to those people who are interested and don't know where to go, don't know how to get the access, don't know what they need to be looking for.
Making good art outside those major film hubs and how people can succeed from anywhere.
Oh, don't you dare stop believing. If you can see it, then you know you can achieve it. Let that way take you higher than an eagle. No time to slow down, put your dream in motion. Oh, put that dream in motion. Oh, put your dream in motion.
Welcome to the In Motion Storytellers Podcast, a podcast that helps filmmakers succeed from anywhere. My name is Dan Paris. I'm your host, and I'm here with my co-host, Jessica Ambuel and Michael Francis. What's up, guys?
What's
hey,
up?
Hey, happy to be here.
So being our first podcast, I'd love you guys to talk a little bit about yourselves, kind of introduce yourself. Jessica, how about you go first?
All right. So I was born and raised in the Midwest, but I always say that my heart is everywhere else. And so I have the honor of storytelling on both sides of the camera. So that brings a very unique perspective to be able to tell a story as an actor, but as a casting director, as a producer, as a photographer, and then just bring that all together to create something excellent to share with the world.
As you can tell, Jessica does it all. She's listed like 5-6 huge roles she does.
Yeah, I want to also point out that she says she was born in the Midwest. However, her heart belongs to everywhere else. That sounds like a cheating heart. That sounds like a cheating heart.
That just means there's a lot to go around. It's not just in one place.
That's what we call it now, huh?
Okay. Michael, how about you? Tell us a little about yourself.
I am Michael Francis. I am a TV producer, developer. That's where the Michael D. Francis comes from. My mission is to bring as much production to the Midwest as possible and help people from the Midwest be able to get out and do the things they love within the production community and world. So that's what we're here for. That's what I'm here for. And hopefully that's what our podcast elevates people to do.
And we'll hear a little bit about Michael's work and some of the stuff he's up to, as well as Jessica's up to here later on. This is Dan, your host. And a little bit about me. I am also basically from the Midwest, since I can really remember. And I am a documentary filmmaker. I make videos for nonprofits. And one way we all met was through the In Motion Conference. We got together and we said, hey, the Midwest needs a top-notch conference where we bring in folks from Sundance, Tribeca, people who've had films play at major film festivals on major networks, and bring them here to St. Louis to encourage, challenge, empower other filmmakers and content creators here in the Midwest. And it happened in November 2019. It was a huge success. 230 filmmakers came out. We had a blast. And this podcast is kind of an outgrowth of that. And, you know, with the pandemic and just life, the conference hasn't repeated yet. It's something in our hopes for the future. But in the meantime, we wanted to continue providing value to other filmmakers in the Midwest. And so that's what this podcast is about, providing resources, knowledge, incredible interviewees, and hopefully opportunities for filmmakers here in this region.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
This podcast is supported by the Missouri Film Office. Go to mofilm.org to learn about all the different ways they support filmmakers here in Missouri. Being the first episode, we thought we would really dive into this idea of like, why are we doing this in the first place? What is the In Motion Storytellers podcast? What is the focus of it? How is it different from other podcasts on filmmaking? And so we really wanted to dive into that. To start it off, we're really going to turn the mic on myself as the host and have Michael and Jessica ask me a few questions to kind of prompt where this all began and how we got here. And then we're going to hear a little bit about, you know, why Michael and Jessica are passionate about this podcast and what we hope to bring to the table.
Sounds like we get to interrogate them, Jessica.
I'm ready. Where's our spotlight?
It's right there.
Okay.
You guys can't see it, but we got him under a hot light right now. He's starting to sweat a little bit.
He's chained to his chair, mm-hmm. So he can't go anywhere.
Nowhere.
Nowhere.
We go here. Are you the good cop or am I the good cop?
We'll figure
bad
that
cop?
Out.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Bad cop, worst cop.
So we all have a heart for filmmaking. So how did it get to doing a podcast?
One thing for me is that I love podcasts. I'm a dad of four kids, and so I do a lot of grass cutting, trash taking out, dish doing, toy picking up, laundry. And sometimes you ain't got nothing else to do and you got all this brain space that you could be using. And I found out that I could be learning while I'm doing all these different tasks. I love to say, I'm trying to mastermind the revolution as I'm taking out the garbage, to quote one of my favorite hip hop artists, Mars Ill. I think podcast is a great tool, right? I mean, it's we can produce it for a lot less than with all the different cameras that we usually bring to our typical shoots, but we're just dealing with an audio file. It's something that people can soak up while they're doing other activities, while they're driving, while they're taking out the trash, that kind of thing. And I think a lot of the filmmaking podcasts take place from people living in LA or New York, and they talk from that perspective. And I think there's something really valuable that we can bring as working filmmakers in our different kind of capacities here in the Midwest and talk about what it takes to succeed. It might require some meetings in LA or New York or Atlanta, or it might require traveling, but a lot of it we can do by just staying right here where we are. Another thing that I'm hoping makes this podcast kind of stand out is a focus on work-life balance and having a family. I think a lot of people end up staying in the Midwest because of the hustle, the grind, the cost of living, and living in somewhere like LA is really difficult when you're also having kids and raising a family. Or most people in LA are not from LA, right? And so at some point, a lot of times they come back once they have the opportunity to continue working. And so I want to talk about the importance of how do you take care of your family and work 12, 14-hour days? Is it even good for us to be working 12 or 14-hour days? And so I think those are conversations that us in the Midwest can have that might be really particular to us outside of other parts of the country.
Well, and when you think of filmmaking,
you don't always think of St. Louis, Missouri,
or this part of the U.S., right?
So it's opening up people's eyes to say, there's talent here, and you don't have to go far to find it. It's right here in our own backyard.
Yeah, I read, I think on MoMA, which is an advocacy group here in Missouri, they said, I think we have about 11,000 people that are either in the film or TV industry in the state of Missouri. I mean, we're definitely not the largest industry in the state, but there's enough people that matters. And we really want to reach outside of Missouri, you know, to everyone in the Midwest, everyone really outside of a major film hub that says, can I do it here? And I think if you can do it in St. Louis, I think you can probably do it almost anywhere.
That's what we need to make a thing. You can do it in St. Louis, you can do it anywhere. Who cares about New York? If you can do it in St. Louis, if you can make it in St. Louis, you can make it.
Have you seen some of those things where like people about to get robbed on a bus in another state and they're like, don't mess with me, I'm from St. Louis. And they're like, oh, sorry, man. Sorry, I didn't know you're from St. Louis.
We don't know how rough it is to get things done. But I think it's, we joke a little bit, but I think it is something to that. That saying about being in New York, which is where I originally heard that saying from, if you can make it from New York, you can make it anywhere. But if you can make something great and be able to pull off something from a place like St. Louis, Des Moines, Iowa, Mobile, Alabama, any of these places that's in the middle that people don't think about, and you can figure out how to do something to get it out and do it well enough where people want it without all the resources that you do have in a LA or New York. I think that's saying a lot about your ability. And we're about to showcase and see about how many people are out there that's doing it right here.
And you know, tax credits is a huge thing for big film projects to come into town. And that's something that's discussed a lot in Missouri. We don't currently have any significant tax credits. But what we do have is a low cost of living, a lot of different great locations. There's a lot to work with here that people are making feature films here, documentaries, reality shows. Things are coming through, a lot of commercial work. We have some major corporations happening here. And sometimes all of us are wearing multiple hats, right? We're not just doing one thing. We're kind of hustling and doing some of our own passion projects while simultaneously finding ways to solve other people's problems, whether that's producing or creating videos for nonprofits like I do.
Another thing, people, when they come from out of town and they come here, they're like, oh, you guys are all so nice. And that's a nice compliment. We want to be known for being nice. It warms my heart to go, well, that's just us. Why can't that be the norm? You know, even if you go to a huge market, I know you sometimes have to make hard decisions, but there still can be camaraderie and community and unity. And I feel like in the Midwest, we have that. And I love that aspect that sometimes just is overlooked or taken for granted because that's just who we are.
Because we welcome
people from the outside when we welcome the people who are already here in our, you know, in our neighborhoods.
And it's such a communal, like a community-based thing. Like when you think about all the people on a film set or on a commercial set, you know, so much about it is about this community. I mean, you're with people for long hours and we all want to be with people we enjoy. So I think that's a good point about what makes the Midwest a great place to produce content. And so I want to talk a little bit about things we can expect from this podcast. I think we're going to talk to people who either make a living outside of some of the major cities in this industry, or maybe they're in LA or something, but they're from another town and they could give advice or speak to what it would be like to, you know, make a living as a filmmaker outside of those major cities. We want to talk about work-life balance in filmmaking, having a family. And one thing I love to talk about in the podcasts that I enjoy the most are ones that actually talk about the numbers, talk about the business side. You know, they call it show business because so much of this is business, right? And so, you know, something this podcast is not going to be about is film reviews. You know, we're not going to like talk about the latest Marvel film and what we liked and what we didn't like about it. It's not really the focus of the content. And even new gear, you know, we might talk about new cameras or new gear that's coming out, but really the focus is about making a living and making good art outside those major film hubs and how people can succeed from anywhere. What do you guys think? What is there any other thing you would say is this podcast you want to be and what you don't want it to be?
What I want it to be, a beacon to those people who are interested and don't know where to go, don't know how to get the access, don't know what they need to be looking for. We can help educate and shed light and expose them to other options that they may not be aware of. That's the one of the biggest things for me, and just opening it up to all the other avenues with inside of production of where people can be utilizing their talents, their skills that they may not be aware of, whether that's film, TV, production, corporate, all the different ways that here in the Midwest, most of the people actually earn a living from doing what we do.
And I would say, for me, this podcast is about heart. In storytelling, we're trying to connect to people, whether it's it's mainly emotionally, because we're not there physically with them. We're giving them images to watch, right? We're trying to connect with them. And I think podcasts can do that as well without the, you know, the moving images. It's just our voices. But I think that the topic of saying, listen, we've been there. Listen, we're here. We're doing it. Listen, we're giving you people who are saying the same thing. Don't lose hope in your passion. Don't lose hope in doing what you love just because of where you are. You are valuable. You can do it, and let us help you do it. And I think that hope is what I hope just oozes out of every episode, that someone can find a nugget to take with them for the day and go, okay, I'm worth it. I'm valuable. What I have is valuable, and I don't have to go 300, 500, no matter how many hundreds of miles away to use it. It can happen here.
Just going to bring it down to the heart of the matter. I love it. I love that.
Back to that heart. That cheating heart of hers.
That's just beautiful. Maybe we might have to have a segment that says, you know, Jessica's motivational moment, you know, or something like that. Go. But that was really great. Cool. A lot of times it's both the practical and head knowledge, but also addressing people's hearts. You know, like, are you losing hope? Are you discouraged? One of the biggest tools you need as an artist and a filmmaker is really dealing with disappointment. I always tell people, I got 10 things going on and only one of them will work out.
Especially in this industry.
Yeah. And so you have to keep plugging away and have that endurance at all 10 of those things. And you have to be ready to know that a lot of them aren't going to fall through. A lot of people aren't going to email you back, or you're not going to get chosen for that gig, or you're not going to get that grant. But you got to keep going, and you got to build on the things you do get and those winning moments you do have.
Measuring what you consider as success. Mm-hmm. That's really key for here. Fighting a rejection, all of that. But right inside of that is, what is success for you? What does that mean to you? And your success is your success. Don't judge your success on someone else's success, because those successes are different based off of each person. And that is something that's really key. And I think that we probably will spend a lot of time going in and out of in various different ways, because it is so to the heart of what we're doing here.
That's a great point. And kind of, you know, to go a little bit into my kind of background, I started doing film stuff back in, I'd say, 2003. So I've been doing it for about 18 years now. I'd wanted to be a filmmaker ever since I was like 15 years old. I wanted to make Hollywood films. And that's really still my passion, is to make fiction feature films. here in St. Louis. But I started out doing videos for a church, doing youth ministry videos. And then the church hired me to do their videos. And that's kind of how I got started. I remember getting paid, I think, $10 an hour for my first edits. I went to St. Louis Community College, studied film there, mentored other filmmakers there. And then I went to film school in LA, a school called Biola. And, you know, I thought I'd stay out there in LA and kind of work my way up. But pretty quickly, I realized, like, I'm impatient. I want to direct right out the go. So I realized documentary was a great way for me to start. And so I remember, had this big budget, traveled around the country thinking I was going to get all this money for my documentary. And then the financial crash hit in 2008. We didn't raise a sixth of our budget. But my hope was to make my first documentary really like this huge film that would play in theaters, have this major impact, premiere at Sundance, you know, like every filmmaker thinks will happen. And we got rejected from Sundance. We got rejected from Sundance Grants. We got rejected from all the major film festivals. And I went through a lot in that first film. I actually was injured during the process of making that film, sick for
a year.
That's
kind of an understatement. For those of you who don't know Dan, you'll learn his story later, but hurt is a very small word for a
broken.
Yes.
That should be that's a full episode, podcast episode right there.
Yeah, we can maybe talk about my first film. It was originally called Give a Damn and now called What Matters. You can find it online or whatever, but we can talk about that. But basically, I was very seriously injured and we had 150 hours of footage. I was sick for a year. I wasn't able to edit it. Finally edited it, rejected from every grant we applied for. But that kind of built up this strength. I remember this kind of analogy of like when you first learn how to swim in the ocean and you go in and you don't realize how impactful waves can be. And that first wave just smokes you and you just land in the water. You're trying to catch your balance. That was some of the first rejections of grants and funders and film festivals that I faced. But the more those waves kept knocking me over, but I soon realized that I could maybe dive under them. I could dodge them, you know, and I could survive them and or not let them impact me so much. And then after a while, I realized, well, one of these waves I'm going to ride. I'm going to ride it into the shore. That was that moment of talking about success that one of my favorite stories is when I finally finished my film, we got rejected from a ton of film festivals, but the first one we got into, we ended up winning Best Documentary. And it set off just this trajectory of opportunities to screen our film. And we discovered that there was another way to do it outside of festivals and playing in regular distribution, but is actually take the film to people. And so we did over 100 community screenings. And I always talk about this story of where I say, what do you think was more impactful? Your film screening at the Awareness Film Festival in Los Angeles, where you win the Visionary Award, or screening your film to the St. Franciscan Sisters of Kirkwood, Missouri? You know, obviously the initial kind of response is like, well, it sounds like the winning the Visionary Award at the Awareness Film Festival is your top experience. Not by any means. Because for one, I had to pay to fly there. I had to pay to stay there. 8 people showed up to watch my film. So it cost me about $800, right? And then when I drove 15, 20 minutes to show it to these nuns in Kirkwood, 200 people showed up. They had all kinds of, they had popcorn, they bought all my t-shirts, they bought all my DVDs. The Q&A went for like an hour and a half. It was one of the most dynamic Q&As I had. And they paid me to come there and they donated money. I made way more money. It was a much more enjoyable experience. No offense to the Awareness Film Festival, but in this industry, things can look shiny. All of us know the term producer can mean all kinds of things. It can mean you were the hardest working person on set, and it means you made one phone call, right? To me, success is impact and eyeballs. And we can all sit there and wait for the Sundance to accept us or something like that, but you can be busy impacting people right down the street from you. So I love that comment you made. Long story short, like, yes, figuring out success is huge. And I think that was a big part of, for me, figuring out what is success for me.
Well, and as an actor, we audition countless times, and the number of projects we actually get booked for are a very tiny percentage of the amount of auditions you're doing. And so to go through that daily and go, okay, I look at this as an opportunity to learn. This is an opportunity. This is a rehearsal. This is practice. I'm going to do my very best because I want it. You want every single gig, right? And we can talk about some other time about not always being the right person, but when you do get booked, you appreciate it so much more because of all that you've been through. But if you look at those opportunities as stepping stones, then you realize how much you've grown. Because if I wouldn't have auditioned 200 times, that's 200 times of being on camera, 200 times practicing, 200 times being rejected perhaps to get to this one amazing opportunity that you now
value so much more than if you would have gotten every single opportunity. If we look at our, not necessarily our, I wouldn't call them failures, but just missed opportunities or it doesn't work out as these opportunities to grow, they don't feel as big of a blow.
There's disappointment,
obviously. You know, in our industry, there's so much that's hoped for and talked about that falls through. And many times it's not to our own doing. It's just factors that are variables that we can't control. But I guess that's just more of all of life, is if you look at these things as opportunities to grow and to develop character, you're going to appreciate so much more when things do turn out. But it doesn't mean it makes it easier. It just makes it, your heart's a little bit more ready to handle, as you said, those waves, because you know they're coming.
So you acknowledge them, you get ready,
and then you just take on the next one and the next one, and you look for opportunities to conquer that for success.
Love it. None of it's wasted time, right? Mm-hmm. Like writing a grant you don't get, you formulated your vision for your project, right? You clarified your vision. You developed that budget that you were procrastinating to make, and now you have it for the next person that comes along or the next grant that comes along. Even those ones that don't work out, they're usually not wasted time because you grow as an artist, grow as a person through that process. I love that.
If you have the mindset to do so, and that's probably stuff that we could also talk about. How do you get the mindset? How do you develop that mindset to be able to see opportunity, recognize opportunity, and then know what to do with the opportunity when opportunity presents itself? Being able to face that rejection. I look at it as just like you're wearing a bulletproof vest, and those rejections are bullets. You know, when you see an action movie, and sometimes you just got to take it. And sometimes you're taking that rejection to the face, and you got to get comfortable with it and used to it. And it's being able to overcome and get through it that helps you get to that point that you're talking about, Jessica. But it's a mindset that people have to develop. Everybody don't have it. And I don't know if it's something that you're born with, but what are those things? And we can discuss it later in other episodes, but what are those things that helped you, helped us get to the point where we're able to deal with it and not be broken and shut down, and why we haven't given up? Because all three of us have been at it for a long time. And, you know, we all have had people that we either started with or we have come cross paths with that have not been able to keep going, have, stopped for whatever reasons. And there is something that has not allowed us to do so. And I know we've all taken some losses. We've all learned some things. And I know you hear people talk about when they have made it, you know, those times that I wanted to give up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I look back at, for me, I never felt a time where I wanted to give up. But there was a time where I tried to give up, where, you know, it's like, oh, I'm gonna put this down but it wasn't because I wanted to. I tried to put it down and it still didn't work out because this is just in me and what I'm supposed to be doing, and anything else is just not gonna work out. But what is that with us? What is that with you, Dan? What is that with you, Jessica, that makes you have to do this and keep going no matter what things are in your way and what roadblocks you get? And I think sharing those mindsets over time will help a lot of people who are struggling or trying to figure out what they need to do, especially when they're listening to everything that's in their ears, telling them not to do it or what they shouldn't be doing because it's not possible.
I think this topic is especially true for this podcast, because those of us in the Midwest feel many times overlooked. We'll go to a bigger market because there's more talent. Well, there's talent right here. Oh, well, we'll just go do this over here because they have tax incentives, but we've got great things here to save you money. So I think being what we call a flyover state, right, is so true to just having that perseverance and that accepting your trials and tribulations to build that character. It's especially true here where we live. And that's what this podcast is all about, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I was even thinking selfishly that part of why I want to do this podcast and why I want to help this part of the country and like build up our industry here is because I want to make movies here. I don't see myself going anywhere. This is home. And so the more We encourage other filmmakers. The more we talk to great organizations, like our next episode with St. Louis Filmworks and what they're trying to do in St. Louis, the more selfishly benefits me and the opportunities I'll have to make the kind of stuff I want to make here. But I'm also going to enjoy the process. But like, what do you say, Michael? You know, what you need is always mutually aligned goals. That's what you're looking for. You know, I was talking to somebody last night, and I was saying, you know, I need all this money to make the kind of fiction films, you know, that I want to make. And he's like, you just need people who get stoked about your vision and have the bandwidth to give a little extra. Sometimes it's not about having those hundreds of thousands of dollars. If you got those people who are like, I love your vision, I want to help you make that happen, and I will give some of my time to do that, right?
Yes.
And obviously, we need to be paid for our work, but some of our passion projects and those kind of things, if we have the right goals, we can create some amazing things together. And that's right. That's one cool thing I think you find in the Midwest is people who want to do these things, but aren't able to full time, but they will in their off time try to give a little bit to help you with your vision.
So if you have people who are aligned, and it goes to that agenda thing, their agendas align and we're all working for the same thing, for the same purpose, and whatever your goal is matches up, at least in this moment of time, of what my goal is, we can come together and make something happen that could benefit both of us. I look at that even in hiring people for projects, because if people are on the same mission within a project, anybody will do something for money. And you can get good work from some people that will just give you everything because, hey, you pay for this, I'm gonna give you everything I got. And then you got some people who don't do that. Or you get enough people on a project that you guys are aligned on the same agenda, you just get better outcomes. I lived in LA for a while, and the difference what I see from being in like a place like LA where everybody is trying to do it, the getting people together and aligning those agendas is at a whole different level of trying to get people to do things like that in a place like this. Because most people here or in these smaller places, the production goal or dreams are secondary, sometimes if not third or fourth on their priority list. Where in LA, the benefit that you have in places like that is people will miss their job to go do a free shoot just to be a part of, or just because, hey, that sounds cool, I want to be a part of that. Where you need me, they'll call in sick. Sometime here, what we fall into is people ain't showing up that often to a passing project that they haven't bought into or not being paid for, and definitely are not going to miss their 9 to 5, you know, to go and shoot a sketch that is going to live on YouTube. Part of that is what makes it challenging in some ways, but in other ways, it gives you things to get over and can be very interesting with all the pieces that we're trying to put together. And that whole agenda aligning thing. We're here now because our agendas are aligning. Because
we love what we do.
We love what we do.
We're storytellers, and we want to encourage others that are just like us to keep going.
Mm-hmm. So it's just stacking up.
Any final words, Michael, you want to leave the audience with?
We want to hear about what people are working on out there. What projects are going on around the Midwest? What some of the issues that they may be dealing with in their local areas dealing with production? Maybe they may have some solutions that we could be using here.
We always joke that I learn about a new production company every week. There's a lot more happening in St. Louis than you think. A lot of times the problem is we're operating in our different silos. People like to be like, I'm doing my own thing over here, not realizing we have incredible gaffers, audio mixers, DPs, producers, writers, directors, all that right here in St. Louis. But sometimes people think because they're operating in silo, they're the best thing that ever happened to the industry, or nobody else would care, could help them with what they want. And you know, kind of there's those two extremes. Mm-hmm. And I think the truth is that there are lots of talented people here and other people who can help you out. And so, you know, bringing this community together, which once again is stuff that the Missouri Film Office is trying to do, stuff that MoMA is trying to do, stuff that St. Louis Filmworks is trying to do. And a number of different organizations here in the area are trying to bring people together. And so we just want to be one piece of that. Man, this has been a great conversation. I already enjoy this. And even if we weren't recording a podcast, I just want to do this for fun. But yeah, we'd love to hear what you think and what you would like to hear on this podcast. So if you want to reach out to us at inmotionstorytellers@gmail.com, that's inmotionstorytellers@gmail.com. Let us know what topics you'd like to hear discussed. Let us know maybe some interviewees you would like to hear from. We're already working on a number of different people we want to interview, but we'd love to get feedback on the kind of content that you all want to hear. And the music you heard today was created by Grammy Award-winning producer Courtney J.R. Peebles of So Hot Productions. If you need a composer for your next film, hit him up at sohotproductions.com. The In Motion Storytellers podcast is brought to you by Speak Up Productions, the In Motion team, and is supported by the Missouri Film Office. Our mission? To help filmmakers succeed from anywhere. Till next time.